22-year-old Eva McDonald was an unlikely labor leader. The daughter of a carpenter, she came to Minnesota from Maine with her family when she was 9 years old. McDonald took a job as a typesetter after high school, but it was her work with the local drama group that jump-started her reporting career. The editor of the St. Paul Globe heard McDonald was a good actress. He proposed she work as an undercover reporter in the local factories to expose working conditions for women. McDonald's first article, called Among Girls Who Toil, appeared in March 1888. It was followed by nearly 50 more. Elizabeth Fow, a professor of history at Wayne State University, is writing a biography of Eva McDonald.
She dressed in old rags, appeared, I'm sure, kind of waif-like, and because she's so small, even though she's 22 years old, she probably looks about 15, shows up at the factory door and applies for a job and does her investigating by literally going into these places, sitting down at the lunch bench, and talking to the women who work in the factory.
When I got to the factory, I found myself breathing an atmosphere whose distinguishing characteristics were a smell of new cloth, dust, heat, and sewer gas. Where does the sewer gas come from? I asked as an extra strong whiff made me feel faint. A stout German girl nearby said, "Oh, 'tisn't very bad now, but most every day the water isn't running in the toilets for an hour or so at a time, but of course they're used just the same. The smell is awful then. Some of the girls get sick almost every day."
At the North Star Woolen Mill in Minneapolis, a blanket factory, McDonald found that women had to work for 10 hours a day with no ear protection against the deafening roar of 83 looms. At the Shotwell, Clarihue, and Lothman's clothing factory in Minneapolis, women were paid just $3 a week. At the time, a week's stay in the cheapest boarding house cost $2.50. Shortly after Eva McDonald's first article appeared, the seamstresses at the clothing factory went on strike.
"We are forced to strike. My wages lately were not enough to pay my board. I managed to exist on $1 a week. I was taken sick and the doctors said I was simply starving myself at that rate and must have better food. That's the reason I am in the strike."
McDonald covered the strike for her paper, and it was at one of the strike meetings that she first met John McGehee, a prominent Knights of Labor leader. McGehee heard her speak to the women and was impressed with her boldness. He started to tutor her in public speaking, taking her around to union meetings where she could try out her voice. Again, Elizabeth Fow.
She got up and absolutely dazzled people because she tells them relevant stories. She keeps the story probably pretty simple. She speaks in their language. She uses examples from their lives.
After a year of mentoring, Eva McDonald gave her first public speech in Duluth. Her topic, the need for women workers to organize, was an unusual one in the early days of the labor movement.
"A girl's living costs almost as much as a man's, and she likes as much amusement and refinement and other good things as a man. But if a woman does the same work as a man, she gets paid a third or half less than him. The men organize and benefit by it. Why shouldn't the working girl?"
McDonald quickly became part of the inner circle of labor leaders in Minnesota. Despite her young age, she attended labor study groups with the men and began speaking on her own from the back of her father's grocery wagon. In the late 1880s, the leaders of the Minnesota farmer and labor groups joined forces in a political alliance to elect their own third-party candidates. At the time, Ignatius Donnelly was president of the Minnesota Farmers Alliance. A former lieutenant governor and congressman, he was also one of the most well-loved speakers in the state. Donnelly was impressed by McDonald's speaking ability. In the summer of 1890, he asked her to travel around with him to help recruit workers for his third-party movement. He recorded in his diary his impression of McDonald as they drove by wagon to a meeting near Winona.
"The great variety of scenery, the different scents that filled the air, all made the drive most enjoyable. I quoted poetry by the yard. Miss McDonald is a very bright girl, quick and apt, but not poetical. her mind bearing the traces of the hard battle by which she raised herself from the living grave of the factory room.
McDonald's youth and down-to-earth speaking style made her a highlight of the program at farmers' meetings. Donnelly began to take note of how the women gathered around her in, as he described it, a curious exhibition of feminine sympathy. Again, historian Elizabeth Fowle.
She was particularly popular among farm audiences because in the 1880s, many farm daughters were coming to the Twin Cities for a few years at least to work in the factories or the shops. These farm families are absolutely terrified for what might happen to their daughters. And here's a woman who has experience as a working woman, who knows what the cities are like, and there are some reports of people literally coming up to her later, the mothers of these girls, the fathers, and crowding around her on the platform, and just completely, you know, connecting to her and wanting to ask her how it's like to be a working woman in the Twin Cities.
It soon became apparent to Ignatius Donnelly that the young Eva McDonald was not the impressionable girl he had initially thought.
Donnelly tended to think of himself like Jack McGahee, but she clearly didn't have the same affection for him. But like Jack McGahee, thought of himself as a mentor for Eva McDonald, this young girl. He was going to teach her how to be a good orator and a good politician. I think the reports from the road suggest she's already does well in both categories, and he actually, I believe, starts to grow jealous of her.
Eva McDonald's fearlessness and her rapport with the farmers began to rankle Donnelly and his followers. In particular, her speeches became increasingly frank. At the Alliance State Convention in 1890, before an audience of 500 men, she berated the Farmers Alliance for failing to allow women as full members and overlooking the special hardships of the farm wife.
If I were convinced that the women of the rural districts of this state are carefully educated, well clothed, well fed, and not overworked, I wouldn't say a word about their absence from the convention. But if the average farmer is a slave, then his wife is a slave of a slave. Her position is fixed by his and is always a little the worse of the two.
Even worse for Ignatius Donnelly and his faction, Eva began to challenge their leadership. Much to his annoyance, farmers at the state convention nominated her for the key post of state lecturer. Although he pressured her to withdraw, McDonald refused and went on to win with a two-thirds majority.
They're furious. I mean, she's taken a prime plum away from them. This means that she gets to go out on the road by herself and pick up the fees by herself, and she's not even a farmer.
Donnelly and his supporters immediately sought to derail her. They tried to have the election overturned because, as a woman, McDonald was not allowed to be a full member of the Alliance. They also launched an attack on her in their newspaper, questioning her sense of womanly propriety.
We do not deny Miss Eva's ability nor her convictions, but we think she permitted herself to overestimate herself. Her abilities are such that if she will come out from behind this presuming on account of her sex, cultivate the womanhood which has distinguished the eminent members of her sex, and above all, let the sad wants of humanity inspire her to more of the tender and less spitfire, a grand future will yet await her.
The controversy only heightened McDonald's celebrity in reform circles. She bluntly ignored demands that she take up more ladylike occupations and set off on a statewide lecture tour, riding in the caboose of freight trains in order to make her schedule. 6 months later, at the Alliance National Convention in Omaha, she was named Assistant National Lecturer, another prestigious post which enabled her to speak at important reform meetings across the country. But just as McDonald started to take the national stage in the Alliance movement, national clamor for a third political party in 1891 swept Ignatius Donnelly to the leadership of the New People's Party. Back in Minnesota, Donnelly immediately threw the weight of the Farmers Alliance behind the new party, effectively stripping his labor opponents, including Eva McDonald, of their political platform. The triumph of Donnelly and his supporters that year marked McDonald's return to her labor roots and, ultimately, her return to obscurity. Although McDonald did not found a labor union or lead a prominent strike, Her life was extraordinary for her time. Historian Elizabeth Fow.
I think she's incredibly fascinating, although my favorite line about her that I've sort of used over and over again is that she was a woman of great significance and no importance. Her life has a lot of meaning, but it doesn't have a lot of sort of traditional historical importance. And I think that when we think about history and about people's lives, we need to understand that both of those are important to understand ourselves and our history, that we can have meaning without necessarily winning the Nobel Prize or becoming president. And we can see in lives like Eva's some significance for how we ourselves confront issues of gender discrimination or social inequality as she confronted them.
McDonald left Minnesota for the East in 1896. In Washington, D.C., she took a job editing the monthly journal of the American Federation of Labor. After 8 years, still frustrated with the male-dominated world of labor politics, McDonald moved to New York, where she spent the last 25 years of her life as a proofreader for the New York Times. Pictures of Eva McDonald and a few of the factories she wrote about, visit our website at www.mpr.org. Our story on Eva McDonald was written by Nancy Blakestead, produced by Annie Fike, and researched by Kate Kuhn and Rosemary Esberg. It was edited by Stephen Smith. Catherine Eaton was Eva McDonald. Thanks to Scott Rivard, Alan Strickland, and Hillary Rhodes for their additional voice work. We had help with music selections from Leif Larson. The Minnesota Century Project on MPR is supported by Sarah Kinney Professional Real Estate Services, matching people with property for 21 years. Coldwell Banker, Burnett, Crocus Hill Office. Thank you.